So glad you're here. So glad to come hang out with you. Let me just say, it's so good to be here. Like, I love, you know what we're here today to do? We are here today to celebrate. I can already tell it's going to be a tough service right here. We're finna deal with you, you bunch of jokers. We're here to celebrate today. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, we're really good at celebrating other things, but when it comes to church sometimes, and when it comes to celebrating Jesus, we get this religious, crusty, denominational old attitude, and we act like we can't be loud and rowdy for Jesus. But when it comes to Outlaws and Legends, or when it comes to the 4th of July, or when it comes to a birthday party, we're all in and we'll give it all we've got and praise God. I just think that today we're celebrating a resurrected Savior, and what Jesus did for me has eternal implications, and I just think we need to learn to celebrate a little bit better and celebrate a little bit more. We're here to celebrate freedom. How many of you thank God for freedom? Can I hear a good amen? I am very unapologetic in the way that I preach. I am very unapologetic in the fact that I am proud to be a citizen of the United States of America, the greatest nation in this world, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Oftentimes, we take for granted the freedoms that we have in this country. Do you know that this very morning in other countries, there are men and women that want to go to church and worship Jesus and a resurrected Savior, but they can't because they don't have the freedom in their nation to do so? Do you know the United States of America? Come on, somebody. The red, white, and the blue. I love America. 4th of July. Don't act like you don't celebrate on 4th of July. You go take your kids and you spend an astronomical amount buying firecrackers, money that you do not have. You fire up the grill and you grill weenies and burgers and T-bone steaks and we celebrate. Thank God for America, y'all. Come on, somebody. Let's celebrate America a little bit. Look, I'm gonna help you out because that's what I do. I'm a helper. I'm gonna help you out. I need you to go along with me, okay? You ready? Let's go. Let's celebrate America. USA, 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 USA. Like, I love America, y'all. More than America, I love Texas. Come on, somebody. It is the Lone Star State. It's Texas. It's the only hope of America, y'all, where we still live in our freedom, where men are men and women are women. We live in Texas where cowboys are still king. Come on, somebody. We live in Texas where we can carry our guns and we eat steak and drink cow's milk. Come on, somebody. Texas, come on, let's go. Texas, 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 Texas. See, when it comes to those celebrating in Texas and celebrating America, man, we'll be full of excitement. We'll have these festivals. We'll have kids' activity. We will play our music so loud. I am so tickled that people that play music, they play Texas red dirt road music, which sucks. Can I just say that? Texas, and they play it really loud, and you come to church, and they're like, well, that church and music is just a little bit too loud over there in the church. Come on, if we can get loud for the rodeo or red dirt, we can get loud for Jesus. Can I hear a good amen? We have all these celebrations. We have all this food. And today, we come together and we celebrate freedom. And it's not just freedom in the United States. And it's not just freedom in Texas. We come together to celebrate freedom over death and freedom over sin and freedom over our past. We come to celebrate a freedom that has eternal value today, y'all. Today, it's all about Jesus Christ. Today it's all about life. Today it's all about a Savior that is alive. It's all about Satan being defeated. Today is all about sin being destroyed. How many of you thank God the sin in your life is destroyed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Today is all about joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Today is all about hope because there is no hope in this world other than Jesus Christ. Today is all about peace. Today is all about second chances. Can I hear a good amen? Today is all about purpose and fulfillment. Today is about an empty tomb. Today is about a God who is living and alive. Today is about a God who wants to elevate us and lift us up from where we are and take us to the next level. How many of you know that? I want you to listen to me. Look. No matter where you are today, I'm going to tell you something. God wants to tear down the mountains and he wants to raise up the valleys, and God wants to take you to the next level. Jesus rose from the dead. He was elevated so that you and I can be elevated. And you got to believe that, because there's some of you in here today, you're in a bad spot. You're in a jacked up spot. You're living in the pig pen smelling like pig poop, and you've made an absolute mess of your whole life. But I'm going to tell you, God knows where you are, and he doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to elevate you up out of the pig pen and take you back to home sweet home with the Father. But can I tell you, there's some more of you here, and you're doing pretty good. You got out of that mess, and you're doing good, and you're at church today, and your marriage is pretty good. Can I tell you, where you are is not where God wants to leave you. He wants to take you from glory to glory, and it always gets better with God if we'll keep seeking and serving him. Today is the day to celebrate big, to celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead. Let's talk about the resurrection for a minute. Did you know that history supports the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Did you know that science has proven that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you know there are other religions in this world that say Jesus rose from the dead and he's alive? Did you know the Bible testifies to it? Now, we got some knuckleheads in our world, and they will argue with history, and they will argue with science, and they will argue with other religions, and they will deny the Bible. But I want to talk to you for the remainder of our time today about something that no one can deny. I want to talk to you about something that no one can deny, and what I want to talk to you about is this: changed lives by a resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. Changed lives. How many of you will say, my life has been changed because my Savior is alive? Change. You tried everything to change your life. If you were like me, you went down a deep, dark path. If you were like me, you wound up in a place where you never wanted to be. If you're like me, you wound up in a place where there was no hope and you were full of depression and no fulfillment. And if you're like me, you tried drugs and you tried sex and you tried working a little bit harder and you tried climbing the corporate ladder and you tried everything in the world to get yourself out of that mess. But you're like me, you finally came to a place where you surrendered and sacrificed and said, I can't get out of this hole, but Jesus, I trust you. And in that moment, Jesus came, changed your life forever. Changed lives. You can't deny that Jesus changes lives. As I read the Bible, I love to read the Bible. I love to read the Bible, and I would encourage you, I love to watch people grow in their faith. I'm so glad you're here on Easter. I'm so glad that you attend church here. But if you want to grow in the Lord and you want the greatest blessings of the Lord, you're going to have to learn to read the Word of God. You're going to have a relationship with him. And no longer can you say, well, I don't understand King James and I just can't read. That's all a lie. There is a translation out there that you can read, and you need to be motivated to read the Word of God and know the character of God. And the Word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will guide you in your daily life. Read the Word of God. As I read the Word of God, here's what I see: many lives changed by Jesus Christ. And I love that. There's this one story in the Gospels. It's this woman who has an issue of blood. She's been bleeding for 15 years. Her issue has called her to be an outcast. Her issue has caused people to run from her and call her unclean. Her life is totally changed by circumstances. But one day, in one moment, she said, I trust Jesus. And she reached out and touched him. And because she had an encounter with Jesus, the issue of blood was dried up and her future was changed. Her life was changed. I see men and women that were possessed by demons that would cut themselves and pierce themselves and act like fools, and because Jesus appeared to them, their life was changed forever. I see men that were paralyzed and crippled and couldn't walk. I see their lives changed by Jesus. If you don't take anything else away from this service today, take away that Jesus is alive and he changes lives. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, one of my favorite characters, is this guy named Peter. He was one of the first hand-picked disciples. Jesus chose him. He was one of the first ones. I love Peter. I can relate to Peter because Peter was a man's man. He did not wear skinny jeans and drink soy milk. He was a hard-working man. He was carrying on his father's business. He was a fisherman. He was a fighter. He was very, very opinionated, and he talked way too much. Peter, Jesus was not scared of anything except these five words. Then Peter opened his mouth. That scared Jesus to death. Peter was confident. Peter walked with Christ. Peter actually is the only one of the 12 disciples that walked on water, y'all. The other 11 are scared. The other 11 are going, oh, no, it's a ghost. And Peter goes, no, that's you, Jesus. Can I come out? And Peter came out of the boat and walked on water. Peter was with Jesus. When Jesus' friend Lazarus died and he was in the tomb for 4 days, Peter was with Jesus when Jesus walked into the graveyard and said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up and he rose from the dead. Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. It was Moses. It was Elijah. It was Jesus. Peter was there. Peter is the one that Jesus said, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. If we look at Peter, Peter's got it going on. Peter's cool. Peter's got a little bit of swag. Things are going good for Peter, but Peter makes a mistake that scars him. Peter makes a decision that brings a heaviness and a shame and a guilt and a condemnation on him. I wonder, are you like me? Have you made one of those decisions or choices that's brought shame and guilt and condemnation and unworthiness, and it is continuing to mark you to this day? Peter made a mistake. Peter screwed it up. Peter denied Jesus. They arrest Jesus. And the people say, Peter, you're one of them. You're one of his followers. And Peter's like, no, 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 not me. I don't even know Jesus. 3 times Peter goes, no, 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 Peter's cussing. No, I don't know that guy. And the rooster crows. And I want to read to you from the Word of God what happens when the rooster crows. Luke chapter 22, verse 61, 62. Luke 22, verse 61 and 62. Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. The rooster goes, Peter turns and looks. Jesus turns and looks. Their eyes lock. They make eye contact. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter has failed. You know what Peter's failure was? Can I just take it another step and tell you what Peter's problem was? Pride. He was full of pride and he was full of arrogance. And Peter said, if everyone else denies you, I won't, because I'm good, because I love you, because I'm strong, because I'm a man's man, because pride came into Peter's life. And the Bible says pride comes before a fall, and Peter fell because of his pride. Here's this moment in history. Peter's failed. He's denied his best friend. He has stabbed his best friend in the back. Peter is full of condemnation, of shame. Any of you ever struggle and deal with the heaviness and the weightiness of shame? You're shameful. You're not good enough. You suck. You're horrible. You screwed it up. Peter is broken. He's hurting, and he runs away from everyone, secluding himself, and he's crying. His dreams, his life, his hopes, they are gone. They are ruined. Everything that he has lived for, breathed for, and sacrificed for over the last 3 years has gone down the drain. Jesus will be crucified. Jesus is dead, and Peter can never, ever make it right with Jesus because Jesus is dead. He can't go and apologize. How is this going to haunt Peter forever? Is this going to be a heaviness and a cloud over Peter forever? It looks like the door has been closed, and it looks like this wrong can never be made right. But on this day, 2,024 years ago, he that was dead was raised to life once again. And because he was raised to life once again, you and I can be raised to life once again. And where it looked like there was no chance, now we can have a second chance. And I want you to hear the words of Jesus. Peter. How many of you know? How many of you are like me? You hurt me the first time, it's okay. But the second time, I'm done with you, Jack. Come on, somebody. Don't act like I'm the only one now. It's kind of the way I am, but I want you to see the heart of Jesus. Peter did Jesus wrong. But when Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to the Marys and to the women, Peter was on his mind. The one that had screwed it up, the one that was the worst of the worst, the one that had denied him, Jesus still had Peter on his mind. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, they brought some spices so they might come and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw the stone had already been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man, which we know was an angel, sitting on the right side, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And the angel said to them, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him." Verse number 7. "But go tell his disciples and Peter." Go tell his disciples and Peter, the worst of the worst of the worst. The one that feels like he's unworthy. The one that feels like I don't love him anymore. The one that feels like he has ostracized himself. Go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee and he will see you there. Can I tell you something today? Jesus Christ rose from the dead for all of us, those that are good and those that are the worst of the worst. Jesus rose from the dead to save and to redeem all of you who grew up in a good, healthy home. For all of you who grew up going to church and you went to vacation Bible school and you did RAs and you did GAs and you did Royal Rangers. Jesus rose for all of you. But can I tell you, the ones that grew up in a dysfunctional home who had premarital sex and for those who went and had abortions and those who have been through divorce, can I tell you, Jesus rose from the dead. He came to save sinners and Jesus came to redeem us all. God, you should have shouted right there, just saying. He said, "Go get them all and Peter, the worst of the worst." Peter, broken, crying, running away, beat down, a failure. And now this risen Christ is going to appear to Peter, we're going to see in the scripture. He appears to Peter. Peter ran when the women got back and they said, "We went to the tomb this morning and the stone was rolled away and Jesus wasn't there." And so Peter and John, they break and they run to the tomb that day. And Peter is old, like Stephen, and John outran Peter down there. And they got to the tomb and they saw that there was empty tomb. And then there was this other day when Peter and the disciples were on the boat fishing. And Jesus was on the seashore, and he had built a campfire, and he was roasting fish. And Jesus hollers from the seashore and says, "Y'all catching any fish? Hey, why don't you come eat some breakfast with me?" And nobody recognized Jesus, but Peter said, "Wait, that's the Lord. That's Jesus." And Peter jumped out of the boat, and he swam to the shore, and he sat down, and he had breakfast with a Savior that was alive. And then the disciples and Peter were in this room. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. And they have the door locked for fear. And all of a sudden, Jesus steps through the locked door and appears to Peter and said, "It's me. Look, I'm alive. Look at my hands. Look at my side. Look at my feet where they pierced me." Peter had these encounters with a risen Savior. There's even this part in the Gospel of John where Jesus says to Peter, "Peter," Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. And he says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "You know I love you." Jesus said to Peter, "Well, then go feed my sheep." And Jesus said to him again a second time, "Do you love me?" He goes, "You know I love you." And he said, "Well, then go tend to my sheep." And Jesus says a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, yes. Jesus said, well, go feed my sheep. What I want you to see there is even though Peter was a failure and even though Peter screwed up, Jesus gave him a second chance. He appeared to him and he recommissioned him and he said, I still want to use you even in spite of your mistakes. Peter's life was changed. The next picture we see of Peter, we'll talk about this next Sunday, is the book of Acts. In the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's a failure. He's crying. He's left. And in the book of Acts, after he has encountered this risen Savior, Peter stands up with a new confidence. Peter stands up with a new boldness. Peter stands up with an anointing, and he preaches a word of God on the day of Pentecost, and it is so strong and so powerful that 5,000 people get saved because God used Peter. His life was changed. His life was changed because that's what the resurrected Jesus does, is he changes lives. Let me tell you about another guy whose life was changed by this resurrected Savior. Let me tell you about another guy who's had a personal encounter with Jesus, a guy who pretty much had all he ever wanted, a guy who pretty much grew up with a decent home, a guy who grew up with a little bit of talent, a guy who grew up and was doing what he wanted to do. He was a good old boy. You know, he was living the life. But this guy made some foolish choices because of some selfishness, because of some circumstances that this guy created for himself. And because this guy chose some really, really major sin, this guy found himself much like Peter, full of shame, full of guilt, full of unworthiness. And this guy found himself running away from everyone, broken and crying, ashamed of who he had become. This man had messed up what reputation his family had. This man was known as a home wrecker. This man had made an absolute wreck of his life. There seemed to be no hope. There seemed to be no way of restoration. There seemed to be no reconciliation. But can I tell you, one day at an old-fashioned full gospel church in Roaring Springs, Texas, I showed up there broken and busted and disgusted, and the preacher preached about a resurrected Savior that loved me where I was and wanted to change my life and wanted to lift me up and elevate me. And can I tell you, that day I got up for the first time and I walked to the front of that church, and at that moment I felt love like I had never felt before, and instead of pain I felt forgiveness. And instead of chaos, I felt peace. Instead of confusion, I felt joy. That day, my life was changed forever because I had a personal encounter with a Savior that was alive. And it ain't no joke, and it ain't no joke, and it ain't no religious BS, and it ain't no show up at church and check the box and play some kind of game and do what my mama told me to do and do what my grandmama did. It is real to me. Jesus changed my life. If you knew me before Cody Preacher Man, you cannot deny that my life has been changed, and there's only one thing that changed it. It's absolutely Jesus Christ. And then God said, Cody, I want to use you. I said, God, there's no way. God, Jesus commissioned me. I said, there's no way. And Jennifer and I moved back to Abilene, and we started pastoring in Bethel Assembly some 23 years ago. And I'm going to tell you what, we ain't been perfect and we ain't been the best, but no one can deny that we're only here today because of Jesus. He changed our life. And that's why they say to me all the time, Cody, you are way too loud. Cody, you sweat way too much. Jennifer tells me all the time, Cody, you have got to quit spitting when you preach. I can see it. Everybody can see it. And I say to Jennifer, Tubby, I am sorry. I will apologize to you and everyone else. It is not like I get up here every Sunday morning with the intentions of hollering and screaming until my voice hurts and my head is throbbing like a robin's butt. I do not have the intentions to get up there and sweat and spit. But when I start talking about my Jesus and I remember how far he's brought me from, and I know the wrecks that he got me out of and the forgiveness that he's given me, I'm like Jeremiah. It's fire shut up in my bones, and I can't do anything but shout and give God 100% of everything that I am, because he changed my life. Not only did he change my life, he changed my wife's life. Not only did he change our marriage, he changed our children's life. He changed us. And that's why every day I try to live celebratory life. I'm going to celebrate every day. I don't need for somebody to print up a calendar and tell me today is Easter, so today's the day you ought to get excited. Every day is a new day, and every day is Easter for me. And I'm going to celebrate it, and I'm going to live life with passion. The power of a resurrected Savior is very real and very valuable to me. Jesus, whose death, burial, and resurrection saved me. I wonder, is there anybody in here that would testify, if Jesus hadn't come into my life, I would already be dead. He saved me. Whose crimson red blood washed me and forgave me. Anybody in this place thankful to be forgiven today? Come on, somebody. Oh, those that have been forgiven much, love much. I'm thankful to be forgiven. Whose Spirit will empower us to be all that God has called us to be. I know I don't look like much. I get it. I understand. I know y'all make fun of me all the time. Y'all say, oh, Cody, you got them Jeffrey Dahmer glasses on nowadays. They say, Cody, you look like David Koresh in the Branch Davidians over there. They say that handlebar mustache, and they make fun of me all the time. You know what? I may not look like much to you, and I may not be the greatest preacher, and I ain't been to seminary, and I ain't very educated, but I'm going to tell you something I have faith in. You let me get over in that office before Sunday morning service, and you let me pray and call out to God and ask the Holy Spirit to come fill me and give me power. I may walk out. I may walk in over there, Cody Cochran, but I'll come out the Holy Ghost kid, and I'll get over here, and I will preach the paint off the wall. I'll preach the devil back into hell. I preach the sinner into heaven. I can do all things by the power of a resurrected Savior. I'll come out Superman. I can stand before you this day and say this: my life has been changed forever in the most incredible way by Jesus Christ. And I make no apologies about it. I make no apologies about it. It's the only thing. My heart is new. My mind is new. I'm a better husband, I'm a better father, and I'm a better friend because of Jesus in my life. My attitude is better. Every day brings hope and joy and peace. My life has been changed. How about you, Mike Breckenridge? Has your life been changed by Jesus Christ? What about you, Ricky Snowden? Has your life been changed? What about you, Sneed, and you Dixons sitting back there, and you Goods sitting back there? Don't tell me Jesus ain't changed your life, Billy Lamb. Don't tell me Cunningham's it ain't changed. Don't tell me that Jesus, Billy Maher, the Lord has changed your life, and Brad High, and all your high boys, and Kerry Fortune, and Glenn Oglesfeld, and Faith Shagan. Don't tell me, has Jesus changed your life? If Jesus has changed your life, you ought to wake up every day and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to celebrate like it's Easter Sunday morning. Come on, somebody, put your hands together and celebrate. Change lives. Conrad, come on, buddy. I got to have some help. Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Because Jesus changed my life, y'all. And he said, you know what I want you to do, Cody? I want you to be a preacher, man. I said, Lord, I ain't qualified. I can't be no preacher. And God's let me be a part of your life. Not only have I got to see my life changed, but I got to see your life changed. I got to see your marriage changed and your children changed. Jesus is alive today, y'all. Don't you think it's time we go all in for him and quit playing some game? It's not about make me feel good. It's not about what this church says or what's going on in the world. It's about Jesus changing me. So I'm going to give my 100% to you, Lord. Maybe there's some of you here today. You've never invited Christ into your heart. You just came to church because somebody invited you. Here because you know you need something. Can I tell you, if you listen real quietly for a moment, you can hear Jesus calling your name. I remember when he called my name. I heard my daddy call my name before. I heard my mama call my name before. Jennifer calls my name about 75 times a day. But there ain't nothing like when I heard the only begotten Son of God, the resurrected Savior, say, Cody, it hit different. It hit different. It sounded, it resonated different. And at that moment, I surrendered all. So maybe there's some of you here today, you've never invited Christ into your heart. You never made him Lord of your life. You're fighting a battle. You're struggling this morning. You're trying to find a way out, and nothing has worked for you so far. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the answer, and Jesus is the way, and it just takes simple submission. It takes simply asking him to come into your heart. If you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your heart, but you say, you know what? Easter 2024 is the day my life changed, because I'm going to surrender and I'm going to try Jesus. If you're here and you've never invited Christ into your heart, but you say, I want to do that today, would you just slip your hand up right now? Nobody's looking around. Nobody can see you, but the Lord can. Slip your hand up unapologetically. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise them up. It's okay. We're here together. We're rejoicing. We're celebrating. God bless you, girl. I see you. The Lord sees you. I see you, brother. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner getting saved and coming to Christ. And I'm going to tell you, according to the number of hands that were raised in here today, there were 6 or 8 people that just got saved. So I'm going to ask you something, church. Let's celebrate with them, and let's celebrate with the angels in heaven right now. Let's just put our hands together and let these men and women know. Not only is God for you, but we're for you. And we're rooting for you, and we're pulling for you. And God is starting to elevate you right now. I want to encourage you that just raise your hand to receive Christ. You got to come talk to me. You got to come talk to some leaders of the church. You got to talk to the people you came to church with and tell them about the decision that you just made. To the rest of you, let me ask you this. How many of you can say, I'm giving God my 100%? Giving him all I got after all he's done for me. If you're not giving him 100% and you know you're not, would you say today, I'm going all in? Would you just stand up right now? Just stand up and go, it's me. I ain't doing it all, but I'm going. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Yeah, thank you for being honest. Maybe you got worn out. Maybe you got tired. Maybe circumstances hit. But here you are. How pleased must the Father be this morning as he looks down upon you and me who say, I'm giving more and I'm giving extra. Come on, everybody, stand up with him. Everybody stand up with him. Holy Spirit, you know us. You know our hearts and you know our needs. I thank you for the lives that just got saved in this place today. And I thank you for the men and women that recommitted to honor and to serve and to love you. Lord, you are awesome and you are good. We thank you for the blood. And Lord, I just pray as we close out this service that we would celebrate right now. We would celebrate the blood that washes us, the blood that forgives us. And we would just leave here with a celebratory attitude saying, thank you, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord today.